This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Brandon Kiley, he is our new producer. We'll introduce him a little bit more middle of the week. We just want to keep it focused on Chiefs and Patriots. The usual shenanigans of The Drive. We'll be back probably middle of the week as there's no more Chiefs football to talk about. Every conversation is going to be about the 2019 start of the regular season. There's no more games to break down. We were one third down stop from Julian Edelman from having plane tickets booked to Atlanta, Georgia.
One offsides penalty.
One offsides penalty away from being at your favorite establishments in Atlanta. And now we're here in cold Kansas City. It saddens me. I'm sure it saddens many of you, but I actually think today is a somewhat positive day. I'll explain what I mean coming up in the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go. The hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, is now open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Brandon, I'm calling an audible today. Let's start negative. What you have is hit number four. Let's make that hit number one. Today is a good day in Kansas City, oddly enough.
There's signs of life around here. I think everyone can agree that we got someone special at the helm, young guy, and he's only going to get better. It's only going to go up. You know, the talent that he has around him is young, and they're only going to get better too. So, I think that this is only the beginning for Kansas City, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're back in this spot, soon and with a different result.
Really quickly, am I the only one that noticing that Chris Conley was talking about the Chiefs like he's not on the Chiefs?
I was going to bring that up. That's the first thing that I thought about.
Like, he was not talking about the Chiefs in a we sense. He was talking about a Chiefs in a y'all sense, but that's neither here nor there. When it comes to what Chris Conley had to say, I understand that everyone is disappointed. I understand being frustrated and hurt by what happened, but I want you to keep in mind that Patrick Mahomes is 23 years old. In my mind, the only team that showed they were better than the Kansas City Chiefs this year were the New England Patriots. Not the Rams, not the Chargers. The only team I think was definitively better than the Kansas City Chiefs is the New England Patriots. Their quarterback's 41 years old. Your quarterback is 23. Over the last three matchups, the Patriots have only outscored the Chiefs by 3 points. Today should be a day about hope and optimism for the future. I just don't know how you can watch this quarterback and think this is the last time you'll have an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. I think today should be a day about positivity.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it was painful and it hurt last night to watch how that game ended. But if you take your fandom out of it too a little bit, I mean, that was one hell of a football game.
Absolutely.
The drama, the theater, like everything about it was terrific. If you could just separate your fandom from what happened. And I think today should be a positive day because, typically as fans, we want to rationalize a loss, come up with a reason, an excuse, this, that, and the other. But I don't think it's a defeatist attitude at all to say that you never thought this team was going to be 12-4 and host an AFC title game in Mahomes' first year as the starter. So as much as it sucks that they got beat and the way they got beat last night, I'm kind of okay with it because I still consider this season a big-time success.
Two.
Hit number two for you guys. The Chiefs lost four games this year in which they scored 30 or more points. That is tied for the most such losses in NFL history. Any trivia here? Any guesses who the other team was?
Probably the Saints from 2012 or something.
2002 Chiefs. So that's good.
Oh, nice. The team that Sean Barber played for.
It could also be enough to cost some defensive coaches their jobs. Here's a report from Mike Garofolo of NFL Network.
Well, no changes just yet, but I have had conversations with multiple sources here, and I am told that the Chiefs are having internal discussions here about do they need to make potential changes on the defensive coaching staff up to and including Bob Sutton.
What do you guys think about this? You expecting any changes from the Chiefs on the defensive side of the ball this offseason?
No defensive coordinator has been in place at their current position more and longer than Bob Sutton. It's time to change, man. I don't think the defense can be worse if they move forward. I just look at what other teams do defensively. I think about certain comments you hear from players that have to go up against this Chiefs defense. I'm just not happy with the direction. I don't know if Bob Sutton is the one to fix the problem. Do they have some personnel issues? Yes. But at some point, there has to be returns on what you get. And think about it. I hate comparing our job to their job, but I don't know if you can consistently get worse at your job over the last three seasons and then continue to expect to be employed. That wouldn't happen in our job. You're telling me that over the last 3 years, if we kept dropping and dropping in the ratings, at some point they don't bring us into the office and say, hey, we got to go in a different direction here? That's the same thing that Bob Sutton is doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the category that Sean Barber talks about all the time, which is points given up.
They're not good at it.
Yeah, in 2013, they were fifth, then they were second, then they were third, then they were seventh. And then the last 2 years, they've been 15th and 24th. Listen, I'm not here to tell you that I think Bob Sutton's a bad football coach, because I don't think he is. But Andy Reid wasn't a bad football coach when he went 4-12 in his last year in Philly either. Sometimes the message just gets lost, and sometimes it's time for a change, to shake things up a little bit. And I think that's what's going to happen in Kansas City. If I had to guess how this whole thing's going to play out, Bob Sutton's going to retire and not get fired, because that's the way Andy Reid treats his coaches. Three.
Hit number three today, the biggest play of the game yesterday. The Chiefs had it all locked up. They won the game. They had an interception. And then the D4 penalty happened. So my question to you guys, is that the play that when we look back on this game in 5 years that we're going to remember?
Probably, but I think that's a little bit unfair. I understand that if he doesn't make that penalty, you lose. But we got to be honest here. The Patriots ran 97 plays in this game. The Chiefs had more than enough opportunities before and after the D4 offsides penalty to go out there and win the football game, and they didn't take full advantage of it. So I understand that 5 years from now, we'll talk about the D4 offsides. I think that's going to be a little bit unfair, though, when it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that, but, you know, there's a lot more to that game in 95 when Lynn Elliott missed three field goals, too, and that's what we talk about. Unfair or not, that's what's going to be remembered.
I don't think this was Lynn Elliott. I don't think it's Lynn Elliott.
I don't either, but there's a lot of reasons the Chiefs lost that game, too, and it wasn't all on Lynn Elliott. So it wasn't all on D4. But I think we can say that this is probably the most costly and dumb mistake in Kansas City sports history. You lined up offside, you got an interception, and we'd be talking about a completely different storyline if D4 is set up, you know, not in the neutral zone. You know, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl if that play didn't happen. And D4 had a great season, an amazing season in a contract year. But, yeah, this is going to be the D4 offsides game. Because if not for that play, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think in 5 years, we hate the name games around here in Kansas City because they got bad names. The No Punk game, the Lynn Elliott game, the blah, 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 blah. The Andrew Luck recovered his own fumble and scored a touchdown game. And now we got the D4 offsides game. Four.
Hit number four, final hit of the day for you guys. Brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, is now open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. So the Chiefs pushed the game to overtime, but they never got the ball on offense. Andy Reid was asked today how he feels about the NFL's overtime rules.
I've sat in on a few of those meetings, and they go back and forth. So it's what the league came up with, and I support it. Sure would have liked to have had another crack, though.
Obviously a big topic of discussion today, given the fact that Patrick Mahomes didn't get the ball yesterday in the game in overtime. What do you guys think? Does the NFL need to change this rule, at least in the postseason?
I don't mind the current overtime rules. I would change them. I would make it first to 6 points. That would actually be my overtime rule. I think that'd be a little bit of an improvement. I'm just under the belief of if you give up a touchdown in overtime, that should end the game. And I don't like that you get 60 minutes to try to decide the outcome of the game, and now we're bending backwards to try to create another fair chance in which you got a chance to win. I mean, even if you go to time, what's stopping one team from dominating the clock and never punting the ball or never kicking the ball to the other team? You would kind of be in the same scenario that Mahomes can be on the sideline at the end of the game. I hate the college overtime. I think it's hokey, and I don't think it represents real football. This represents real football. Mahomes had an opportunity to get the ball. The Chiefs defense just never got him the football in this game. That I just reject the notion that the game ended with the coin toss. They kept playing after that. And I reject this notion that Mahomes didn't get a chance. He was given a chance. The Chiefs defense just didn't give it to him.
Yeah, I think they should at least look at it for sure. I think the overtime rules need to change in the playoffs. And that's not because I think the Chiefs got screwed in this game, but I think it's because the NFL loves star quarterbacks. The star of the future never got on the field in the conference championship game where over 50 million people were watching it. I mean, OT rules in the regular season are basically there to get the game over. They want to reduce wear and tear on guys that are making $5, $6, $7, and sometimes $20 million a year. They're professionals, so I get it. I understand it. But when it comes to overtime in the playoffs, I think each offense should have a chance to be on the football field. And I'm not – the six-point thing is fine. But listen, if the Patriots get the football, go down and kick a field goal, the Chiefs get it back, and they don't score, then game's over. So I think we see it in baseball. You get a chance to hit, you get a chance to defend. I think it should be that way in the playoffs for the NFL. So I do think they ought to tweak them. But it's not saying because the Chiefs got screwed on this thing. I just think that's the way it should, that's the fairest way to handle it.
We agree. We wouldn't be having this conversation if – the Chiefs have won the coin toss, and then Mahomes takes him down the field. None of us would be like, you know what, man? You know what would have been fair? I mean, I certainly would have loved to see Brady get another opportunity to go to us. None of us have that take today.
In truth, that would have been fair, though. I don't think the way they are set up, it's fair. So I do think that would be the fair way to do it.
I just don't think the purpose of overtime is to create a fair opportunities for both teams to win.
Well, I think that's the exact way it should be. You know, I mean, you've got the future of your league in a poncho standing on the sideline, and you never get to see him in overtime of a conference championship game with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. It's a business. You want people interested? You want people watching?
They were yesterday.
Yeah, but look what Brady did. Now let's see what the young kid can answer. I think it'd make for better theater. I didn't like the way it ended.
Yeah, I mean, it had a chance to be great theater. They just kept letting Julian Edelman get open on 3rd and 10. I mean, I just reject the notion that Mahomes didn't have an opportunity. The Chiefs defense just didn't give him the opportunity, and that just is life to me. But I think I'm in the minority when it comes to the Chiefs overtime rules. I wanted to share this quote with you guys because Bill Cowher said this. This was the first Saturday of the NFL playoffs. He said, your strengths get you into the playoffs. Your weaknesses get you beat in the playoffs. And I remember writing that down. And I remember thinking, man, at some point, I hope we don't have to use this. But I'm like a firm believer of if you watch your team play and then you get to the NCAA tournament. Like, if your team can't shoot free throws, your team's going to be put in a position in the NCAA tournament where you got to shoot free throws to win. That's just how it works. If you got a bad bullpen in the baseball playoffs, your bullpen is going to be tested to see if you can overcome it and win in those scenarios. I think back to what were the two biggest problems for the Kansas City Chiefs all season, and they are two of the biggest reasons why you lost this football game. We talked about it all year when it came to penalties. This team was the most penalized team in the NFL. And Andy Reid kept saying, oh, we'll fix it. It's under control. We'll get it right for the playoffs. Now, they fixed it a little bit. But they had a critical penalty at the end of the game that I'm not going to say cost the Chiefs the game. Like, they had other opportunities to win. But if D Ford does not line up offsides, I think the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. The win probability suggests you go to the Super Bowl if D Ford is not offsides. The penalties were a problem the entire season for the Kansas City Chiefs. It was obvious it was a problem the entire season for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then at the worst possible moment in the 2018-2019 NFL season, guess what popped up? Penalties. Your weaknesses get you beat and eliminated in the playoffs. Penalties were one of their strongest weaknesses. It cost you dearly in January.
And I want to read a text that I got from our guy Nick Jacobs over at Channel 41. Does some great film breakdown, does a really good podcast. And he and I were swapping texts about this because he wrote a piece about it. And he told me, he goes, you know, D Ford has always struggled at attention to detail. He said, plus, Andy Reid never really held this team accountable when it came to penalties. And it did. It came back to bite them in the rear end. Now, the Chiefs only had 4 penalties in this game. Compared to, I think, the average 11 a game during the regular season. But that one penalty did cost him. I disagree with you. That did cost him the game. I mean, that was an interception, game over, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would just say, I think saying that one the thing is the reason why they lost the game.
I mean,
given the fact of this high-flying offense scored 0 points in the first half, like, they did other things through the course of the game to not win the game. So that's why I think saying that Dee Ford single-handedly cost them the game
is
just unfair.
But that play right there, when you've been struggling against Tom Brady, he's driving on you late in the game, and you line up offsides, like, that's not a judgment call. A judgment call is pass interference. A judgment call at times is holding. This is a pretty black-and-white play. He was lined up in the neutral zone. That's a penalty. That's a basic thing that an official can't keep the flag in his pocket. You have to call that. If you're lined up in the neutral zone, that's a penalty. You can't just say, hey, we're going to let him play here. You can't let a guy line up off sides. And it was right in front of him. Dee Ford was on the edge. The line judge was right there. Like, that penalty was huge. It was huge.
I agree.
If we got to rate some of the biggest reasons why they got beat, that's up there, man. You know, and sure, not being able to put anything on the board the first half, but we knew Mahomes was going to be able to score, and that offense would get it going in the second half because they always do. That penalty killed him, man. That penalty, when he had a chance to end it, you finally got Tom Brady in a spot. You got an interception from a young rookie corner in Charvarius Ward, and an offsides penalty didn't end the game, but it screwed you big time.
Another thing that really hurt this team, too, all season was their inability to get off the field in third downs. And I remember all season we talked about the defense, and it was, well, this offense scores so quick and the defense is on the field. And I felt like we made excuse after excuse for the Kansas City Chiefs defense. No one can convince me this is wrong about the Chiefs defense now that the season is over. The only time we saw the Chiefs defense be good was against inferior competition or when their offense got the defense double-digit leads. I can't think of many other times that I looked at this defense and you were overly impressed in those two scenarios. You either played Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen, or the Chiefs, like in the game against the Colts, they scored 14 points in the first 4 minutes of the game, and you just always play with a comfortable lead that you could just sick them on the team. That in this game,
I mean, the Ravens game, the defense was big in that game, in the Ravens regular season game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say the Ravens have a bottom five passing quarterback in the NFL.
You'd be right.
So I would just say that's maybe a different example of inferior opponent. They certainly are not an inferior opponent, but their quarterback is a bottom five quarterback when it comes to passing in the NFL. That doesn't really show me if your defense is very good at being able to stop Lamar Jackson when it comes to throwing the ball. That all year, I think we saw that you could move the ball against this team. And we always talked about bend but don't break. And it's all about points and stats don't matter. The Chiefs gave up more first downs than any team in the history of the NFL. Other teams in NFL history have had offenses that score quickly. The Chiefs were not the first team to do it. 419 first downs this season. The previous record was 406. No other playoff team was top 10. Not one other playoff team. Of the other 11 teams that made the NFL playoffs, not one of their defenses were top 10 in first downs given up. The Saints came in at 11th. Other teams were able to get their defense off the field to give the offense an opportunity. That on that first drive, I thought it was very apparent that the Patriots were going to run the ball at the Chiefs the whole day and that the Chiefs really did not have an answer for it. And we've talked about all year, the best way to beat this Chiefs team is to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. That's how you do it. That I think we saw in the Chiefs' biggest game and their most important game, their two biggest flaws in my mind all season. The penalties that never really got corrected came up big time with Dee Ford. Their inability to get off the field in third down. It wasn't just one third down. It was multiple third downs. If we want to have that conversation about overtime, three separate times the Patriots had third and eight and longer.
Yeah.
I'm not talking third and one. I'm talking third and long in these scenarios. And it was a steady dose of Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski to move the chains to eventually get that Patriots team in the end zone. This team couldn't get off the field all season on third down, and it ended up costing them big in the playoffs.
Yeah, were they 16 of 19, something like that, in that game? And it was ridiculous, the third down conversion by the Patriots. And the other part of that, too, C-Dot, you mentioned, we talked about it, right? Keep Mahomes on the sidelines. Patriots opening drive of the game, 15 plays. Chiefs in the first half, total offensive plays, 16.
Chiefs only had the ball in the first half for 8 minutes and 26 seconds.
Yeah, it was gross. And they were dominated in time of possession. The defense could not get off the field. And that's what, to me, is so frustrating when it comes to the Dee Ford call, is because they finally made a play. And they made a play in a crucial spot. You know, game on the line, chance to go to the Super Bowl. They make a huge play, and you're lined up in the neutral zone. That's why, to me, that will go down as the biggest dumbest mistake in Kansas City sports history. You can't do it. Because when you're not going to make those big plays, when you can't get off the field, when you finally make one, you can't do what Dee Ford did. And I feel bad for Dee Ford because this is going to hang around his neck for the rest of his life. He's going to have to walk around with this. People in Kansas City are never going to forget it, whether it's fair or unfair. But the defense finally stepped up and made a play. You got a 22-year-old rookie corner who was on the Cowboys practice squad to start the season that Brett Veach went and got and traded for. And he makes a play, makes a pick, and you got a guy lined up in the neutral zone. So when you can't get off the field, you can't make mistakes. And Dee Ford made a huge one.
Text line 69306 is on the Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line. Someone said earlier, stop it. You're not guaranteed to ever get back to this game. Another texter said, that's what Miami fans said about Dan Marino, C-Dot. This is what I don't like about the Dan Marino argument, because to me, it kind of, you pick the one example. Like if I had said you find your franchise quarterback through the NFL draft, you very easily could have said Drew Brees. Like Drew Brees was not drafted by the New Orleans Saints. But we can acknowledge that that is an exception to the rule. The Broncos found a franchise quarterback in Peyton Manning through free agency. We can agree that's not the way that you would find your quarterback in order to build your franchise. So to me, to use the Dan Marino argument, if you think that you truly have a special quarterback, like Dan Marino, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks to ever live, I think that Mahomes has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame. You do not have an MVP season your first year and not have a chance. Now, I don't know what the percentage chance is. Certainly not 100%, not 0%. Yeah. But it is very realistic to think that Patrick Mahomes can make the Hall of Fame at some point in his career. I just don't know how you watch this entire season and think that you will not get back at some point. Now, we'll see if this defense can get over the hump. We'll see if Mahomes can get over the hump. We'll see if Andy Reid can get over the hump. But I just don't know how you can watch the Chiefs for 18 games this year and see what they have at quarterback and be a knowledgeable football fan about what it means to have one of the five best players in the NFL and not think you'll have another opportunity at it. And that's why when I'm sitting here and I'm listening to KCTV5 and I'm listening to the Arrowhead Pride pregame show and I'm hearing various players talk about it, I'm seeing Chris Jones talk about it, I'm seeing Spencer Ware, I'm seeing Chris Conley, I'm seeing it. The sentiment in Kansas City should be, it was fun. We got our franchise quarterback and maybe the best player in the NFL. This offseason needs to be about retooling that defense and getting this defense to a championship level. But just everything we learned, everything we know about the NFL tells you that Mahomes will be back.
Yeah.
Like for every Dan Marino you give me, I can give you 10 examples of a quarterback as talented as Mahomes that eventually got to the Super Bowl and eventually won a Super Bowl. Marino is the exception. The rule is if you have a great quarterback, if you have a great coach, if you have the great home field advantage that the Chiefs do, you eventually get one. I don't want anybody to lose sight when we're talking about Dee Ford's offsides or we're talking about Rob Gronkowski or Julian Edelman. Again, the only team this year better in the AFC than the Kansas City Chiefs. You are not the sixth best team in the AFC. You are not the eighth best team in the NFC. We're not talking about a team that needs to make drastic overhauls to take this huge leap. The only team better than you is the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. It was a Tom Brady overtime-led drive in a coin flip in which your defense couldn't get a stop is what prevented you from going to the Super Bowl. You are right there and closer than you've ever been before. Yeah. You're telling me that Mahomes can't be the difference in the next 5 years to get you over the hump that you aren't in this place? I just think using Marino is just so dishonest based on the other 30 years of examples we have from other quarterbacks, not named Dan Marino.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they're talking about, though, too, is you got Drew Brees got there once. Phillip Rivers has never got there. You and I both are on the same page about him, you know, being a Hall of Famer based on the numbers he put up. I mean, it's just more often than not, you get fewer opportunities than you think. And I think that's where the Dan Marino argument comes in. I will say this, like, and here's another reason to feel really good today. I mean, the Chiefs had five losses by a combined 20 points. I mean, think about that. Their five losses were by a combined 20 points. So you're getting beat by an average of 4 points. That's it. I mean, you just put up 31 at home in the playoffs in back-to-back weeks. You got the offense. You got the hard part figured out. So the Chiefs are not that far away if they can just get a little bit better on defense and figure that out. That's the glass-half-full mentality on this thing. That's the way you have to look at it. It sucks. Yesterday was painful. It was awful.
I just don't know why you would have any other approach other than glass half full when you think about what it is. Like, you've had the best tight end in the NFL before.
Mm-hmm.
You've had the best running back in the NFL.
Best offensive line.
You've had the best pass rusher before in the NFL. You've never had the best quarterback in the NFL before. It is very possible that you have that right now.
Yeah.
Or if you don't, You have the second best quarterback in the NFL, and the number one quarterback is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Like, I understand being frustrated. I understand being disappointed. But to me, it is just very disingenuous to only bring up Dan Marino and not bring up the other 15 quarterbacks who have been equally as talented as Dan Marino that eventually got to the Super Bowl and then won a Super Bowl.
And the other part of this, too, and we were kicking around before the show. I mean, yeah, the Chiefs got shut out in the first half. But your franchise quarterback in his first year as a starter helped you put up 24 in the fourth quarter of the AFC title game. That's Elway-type stuff. Like, that's Hall of Fame-type stuff.
How many times did Elway get there?
What did he get there? He lost, five?
Five. He got there five
won,
times.
Won the last two?
He got there five times.
Yeah, so, I mean, what Patrick Mahomes did last night at Arrowhead Stadium, didn't get many opportunities right out of the gate, only had the football for 8 minutes in the first half. Your 23-year-old quarterback led you to 31 points in the second half in the AFC Championship game against the greatest coach and quarterback combo we've ever seen. So there's a lot to be really positive about going forward with this football team.
Coming up in 5 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest, and we'll get into where this game was won and lost and had nothing to do with the quarterbacks. I'll explain what I mean coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Today's pop quiz. Excuse me, not pop quiz. It is your chance to win. I was still on the pop quiz page, so I was reading the wrong thing. Here's your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest and make me look like an idiot. Text the word bubble, B-U-B-B-L-E, bubble, to 72881. That's bubble. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both weekdays, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It pays listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Messages and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour. But why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
Text the word bubble, B-U-B-B-L-E. Text the word bubble to 72881. That's bubble is your national cash contest code word for 530. You and I are always on a little bit different sides when it comes to importance of the offensive line. I'm not saying I don't think they are important, but I wouldn't spend significant resources in the draft on offensive line. Like what the Colts did to pick Quentin Nelson 7th overall, I just would never do. Like, I would never allot that much of my cap space to an offensive guard. Everybody's got different team-building strategies when it comes to it, but I think we can agree one place that this game was won and lost on or last night was offensive and defensive line. The Chiefs have made their money defensively, and they have made their hay defensively by being a team that disrupts, creates havoc, and gets to the quarterback. You didn't do that yesterday against Tom Brady. You didn't do that the first time against the New England. That it was, comes to me like offensively, they realize, hey, their only chance defensively is to get to Tom Brady. So we got to do everything in our power to get the ball out of Brady's hands as quickly as possible. We're not going to let Chris Jones be the one to make the plays, or D Ford the one to make the plays, or Justin Houston. We're going to make everybody else be the one to make those plays. Like, they completely took D Ford out of the game. D Ford didn't make a tackle in this game. He didn't have a sack in this game. They found a way to neutralize a player that has been, I wouldn't say unstoppable, but has been dominant so far this season. This game was won and lost on the offensive and defensive line. The Chiefs couldn't protect their quarterback and Patrick Mahomes, who got sacked 4 times in this game. The Patriots could protect their quarterback. The Chiefs, who have made their money defensively at getting to the quarterback, could not get to Tom Brady and disrupt him. They only hit Tom Brady 6 times in this entire game. He dropped back to pass 46 times in this one. They were not disruptive the same way that they were in so many games so far this season, and they were last year against the Colts. This game was won up front at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I'm a big offensive line guy, and I understand why people aren't. I mean, it's not a fantasy football position. You don't need an offensive line. You don't really pay attention to that. You don't draft those guys. I get it when you're looking at running backs and offenses that you worry about the offensive line, but it's not a sexy position. And you're on to something. I mean, look at some of the guys that the Chiefs have subbed in there, like the Andrew Wileys of the world, right? The Jordan Devies. I mean, some of these guys that you've never heard of that came in and did a really good job on the offensive line when they were asked to fill in. So, yeah, you can go out there and get guys without having to spend high draft picks on these dudes. But at the same time, man, if you've got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes or you got a franchise guy, I've got no problem with spending money and draft picks to protect your most valuable asset. And I was surprised at how bad of a night that the Chiefs offensive line had last night, because the Patriots came in here and they were one of the worst pass rushing teams in the league. I think they were 30th in sacks over the course of the season, and they hit Mahomes 10 times last night. Well, you got to him. And you're right. I mean, that game, a lot of it was decided in the trenches with those guys. The Chiefs had a hard time running the football when they wanted to. They had a hard time protecting Mahomes. And they didn't get to Brady. And you're going to have to do that to win big. And it's still mind-boggling to me. And I went back and I looked at both the Rams and Saints box scores and the Chiefs. And if you look at them and you don't look at total score there, you're like, man, the Chiefs got blown out. They got their doors blown off. And I could see where this Rams-Saints game went to overtime. Somehow the Chiefs still managed to put up 31 second-half points and take the lead in the fourth quarter and get this thing to overtime. So, again, it goes back to what we've been talking about and touching on, at least trying to throughout the course of the show, is that you got a lot to be really, really happy with. But the Chiefs did some uncharacteristic stuff last night, you know, and that's not being able to protect Mahomes, and that's not being able to get to Tom Brady. And that's stuff we haven't necessarily seen all season.
I know you're a big fan of advanced analytics.
I love it.
Someone pulled up.
Give me some algorithms.
Someone pulled up pressure rate, which I think matters. Patrick Mahomes was pressured on 44% of passes he dropped back for. Tom Brady was pressured on 10%. That's a difference in the game.
Yeah.
One team got pressure on the other team's quarterback. Like, sometimes when we break down these games, we talk about, well, you know, you got to run the ball effectively. Patriots did that in this game. You got to get pressure on the other team's quarterback. Patriots did that effectively. Sure, other things dictated the outcome, but the Patriots just absolutely dominated the clock. The Patriots ran 94 plays yesterday. The Chiefs ran 47. Now, I'm no math whiz.
It's a big difference.
I graduated college. That's twice as many plays as the New England Patriots. Time of possession. The Patriots had the ball for 43 minutes. The Chiefs had the ball for 20 minutes. So they ran twice as many plays as you, and they had the ball for twice as long as you had it. They won the football game. Like, it's really that simple.
And it should have been that close either. I mean, with the numbers that you're throwing out right now, there's no way this game should have been 31-31 heading to OT.
Like, it's really that simple. And you think back about third downs, and we're talking about this team's inability to get off the field on third down. This is Tom Brady on third and long. So this is third and four and more. 8 for 9, 114 yards, all 8 of his completions went for first downs. You got to think about it. If you got a dynamic pass rush, you live for that money down.
Yeah.
You live for 3rd and 7. You live for 3rd and 8. It's not like this team, the first two downs, were not creating obvious passing down situations for
it. Yeah.
At the end of the game, we knew who the ball was going to. It was going to Edelman. It was going to Gronk, and you got to stop him. I knew it, you knew it, and Brady knew where the football was going. I'm going to guess that Sutton and this defense knew where the ball was going to. 8 for 9 on 3rd and long, 114 yards passing, all 8 completions went for a first down. Man, Chris Jones, you got to get to the quarterback. D Ford, you got to get to the quarterback. Justin Houston, you got to get to the quarterback, or you have to be a disruptor in the passing game. They weren't disruptors in the passing game. They certainly couldn't stop Sonny Michel and this team when they were focused on running the football. Mm-hmm. They couldn't take away anything New England wanted to do offensively. And if you couple that with the other side was, New England took away the things you wanted to do. Tyreek Hill was not out here running loose on the Patriots this week. It was like Belichick walked in there, wrote down Tyreek Hill's number and said, this guy is not having a good day against us. I don't care what you got to do. We'll let Sammy Watkins have a good day. We'll let Damian Williams get his couple touchdowns. We're not going to let Tyreek Hill run wild and then peace sign and do all this. We're not letting him do it today. Travis Kelce, we're going to be physical with Travis Kelce, and we're going to completely remove him and eliminate him from the football game. When was the last time that we've seen this defense go up against an elite player in the NFL and you felt like they schemed to take that player out of it? I can't remember the last time that happened.
Yeah, I mean, and Tyreek Hill had dominated the Patriots. I said on multiple occasions last week that they've got no answer for him because they can't catch him. Man, he had one catch for 42 yards. I mean, you know, they took away Travis Kelce for the most part, Tyreek Hill. The pass rush was ineffective with one hit on Brady. And, of course, the first quarter hot start is what Belichick talked about a bunch last week, about how hard it is to get out to a good start against the Chiefs because they jump on you. Oddly enough, the Patriots have been pretty damn good at it. You know, up 24-9 in Foxborough. Still got the win, but the Chiefs came back, had the lead in the fourth quarter in that game too. Up 14-0 here, could have been a lot worse. Chiefs came back, got the lead on them. So they eliminated the hot start in the first quarter. Got the pass rush was nothing for the Chiefs, and Tyreek Hill had one catch in this game. You know, and on top of that, and I'll go back to the hot start a little bit, and I realize that I'm in the minority on this. And I know the Chiefs have done this the entire season, and I understand why they do it. They won the coin toss, and they deferred. Typically, it's great, right? Your defense, especially at home, goes out there, gets you a stop. Offense is on the field. all of a sudden, bam, 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 Chiefs are on the, have the lead, and they get the football to start the second half. I was deathly afraid of deferring to the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. The last thing I want is your 23-year-old star quarterback making his first start in an AFC title game in -5 wind chill, sitting on the bench for 20 minutes. And that's exactly what happened. The Patriots put together a 15-play drive that ate up over 8 minutes. It was like it felt like it was forever with those guys on the sidelines. And just like that, you're down 7-0. And the Patriots showed you right out of the gate that they're going to run the football, they're going to do it all night, and there's nothing you can do about it because they ran for 170-some-odd yards last night. I didn't agree with that decision. Not against these guys. Do it against the Browns. Do it against the Cardinals. Hell, do it against the Chargers and the Broncos. I don't care who you do it against because I understand the logic. But don't do it against the greatest quarterback to ever play the game and the greatest coach to ever coach this game. I think that was a big mistake right out of the gate.
Coming up on the other side, Brandon, our new producer, has made a montage of all the things I said about Rob Gronkowski. I'm sure there wasn't anything too bad in there because all I did was speak very glowingly about Gronk all week.
That's fake news.
And we got to have a conversation about the officiating and how inconsistent it is in the NFL and how it ends up costing teams. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
So, last week is in the course of breaking this game down and trying to give you the best analysis in Kansas City. I lost my way a little bit.
Did you get sideways or what happened?
We were discussing Rob Gronkowski, and I was repeatedly taken out of context.
Is that what it was?
The liberal media out there loves to twist my words.
Is that what it
That's
is?
That's what it is.
Yeah. Some fake news out there.
I clearly said some things.
Yeah.
And due to the beauty of technology in 2019, you and Brandon were able to go in the system and massage and finesse.
Oh, wow.
And create your alternative facts. Mm. So I'm going to play this for you because I'm a gentleman. I'm going to play for you some of the things that I am alleged of saying about Rob Gronkowski.
Alleged. I like that.
I don't remember saying these things.
Really?
But if you guys say that I said them, then it must be true because you were two stand-up individuals. This is our Carrington Rob Gronkowski montage. The only reason we're having this conversation about Gronk is because he's in the uniform. He is Brett Favre on the Jets. He is Emmitt Smith for the Arizona Cardinals. He's Patrick Ewing playing for the Orlando Magic. I'm here to tell you that Gronk is done. D-O-N-E.
Second and 9 in play action. And a pass is complete to Gronkowski with Sorensen on the coverage. It goes for 13.
But it's over for Rob Gronkowski. I'm not saying that he can't be a factor in this game in the running game. But last time I checked, in order for you to be an offensive weapon in the passing game, they got to throw you the football. They don't throw Gronk the ball anymore.
Watch the top of your screen. Watch this safety. If he comes down, there's a good chance he's throwing out there. It's Gronk for the first down.
I'm way more worried about Julian Edelman. Way more worried about James White. Hell, I'm more worried about Philip Dorsett than I am about Rob Gronkowski. It's over for the big guy.
Here they come after Brady. He goes down the field to Gronk. Turns around, makes the catch. He saw what you saw, Tony.
Yeah, I don't remember saying any of those things, actually.
You don't?
Now that I'm kind of going back throughout the course of the week.
Is it coming back to you?
I don't remember saying literally any of those things about Rob Gronkowski.
I remember you saying he had like 5 catches over the last month. He had 6 last night, 11 targets.
Yeah, he had 5 for 70 yards.
Yeah, okay. So now it's coming back to you.
That should tell you everything you need to know about the Chiefs defense, that they revitalized Rob Gronkowski. That Gronk had 0 catches against the Buffalo Bills 2 games ago for the New England Patriots. But no, you go up against that Chiefs defense and you see Eric Berry across from you and you get the fountain of youth. You see Daniel Sorensen on you in the flat and Belichick just, he sees a gimme 12-yard completion. I was wrong. All right, you know what?
He had 6 for 79 yards.
I'll admit it, I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I was wrong about nothing last week.
I admit it, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Gronk and Edelman combined for 106 of the Patriots' 140 total yards on their last 3 drives.
I mean, it's almost like they went to their most trustworthy and reliable players, and the Chiefs were unable to adjust. Like, that's wild how that is. Actually, can we have this conversation? And I know I've been trying to keep it positive, but can we have this conversation? Travis Kelce, we consider the best tight end in the NFL, right?
That's correct.
Best tight end in the NFL. I'm seeing him. He's dancing in these McDonald's commercials, and he's doing television shows on E! Travis Kelce carries himself like a big-time star, right? I kind of feel like Coach Yost, and I'm talking to Petey. You want to talk like a big-time star? We need a star effort. Travis Kelce had 3 catches, 2 drops in the game. I mean, some bad drops. I'm not talking about some you tried to go over and make a one-handed play in this. We heap a lot of praise on Travis Kelce. You needed a big-time star effort. You want to talk about the difference? The Patriots guys played like stars. Chiefs guys didn't play like stars. Other than Mahomes and Sammy Watkins, I didn't see a whole lot of star efforts on that offense. Damian Williams played well, too.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce.
Sammy.
Travis Kelce, 3 catches. Tyreek Hill, Mr. Peace Sign, 1 catch in this game. Completely neutralized in this one. Everybody that matters offensively for the Patriots had a good day. Everybody that matters. James White, Sonny Michel, Edelman, Gronk, Chris Hogan had a couple of big-time catches in this game. The guys that matter for the Patriots had big-time efforts and made big-time plays in this game. You didn't get that from the Chiefs in this matchup. That Kyle Van Noy guy lived in the backfield in this game, did he not?
He did.
He basically set up houses and hotels like it was Park Place and Boardwalk in the Chiefs' backfield. He lived in the backfield the first 30 minutes.
He doesn't make that kind of money.
He lived in the backfield the first 30 minutes of the game.
Kyle Van Noy. Yeah.
He looked like Kyle Miller. That's who he looked like.
Kyle Taylor, maybe?
He looked like Kyle Deacon Jones is what I was calling him in the first half, how much he lived in the backfield and that. I need a little bit better effort from some of your stars in this game.
I mean, Tyreek Hill had 3 targets. Kelce only had 5.
Yeah, because they locked him up and took him out of the game.
I mean,
you told me it wasn't possible.
I didn't think it was.
You told me that he was the Patriots' Madison Bumgarner.
I did say that.
That's what you told me.
I did say that.
He played like Ashley Madison in this game, not Madison Bumgarner.
No, he didn't play good, man. Yeah.
You told me he was kryptonite.
Yeah, he was. He was not anymore. He's not. No.
Was I the only one that noticed this? Now just all the things are coming back to me. Now my memory's coming back.
It's coming back.
I remember stuff about Gronk.
Because we got like 2 minutes of the show left. I got you.
Am I the only one that whenever they would show the camera on Bill Belichick, he never looked like he was coaching? I'm serious. Go back and watch it. Every time they showed Belichick's face, he's not talking to anybody. He's not looking at anything.
He might have been coaching when he threw that that tablet.
Right? That was the only thing I remember.
Yeah,
I'm serious. Go back and watch it. Belichick's mouth is never, he's never talking to anybody. You know how like with.
Did he even have a headset on the majority?
He had a headset on, but you know how with Reed, like Reed's always talking to Mahomes.
Sure.
And then how Sutton is like right there next to Andy and they have like some level of interaction. You never see him talk to Josh McDaniels. You never see him talk to Brian Flores. You never see him talk to, he didn't talk to anybody on the team.
Yeah.
I don't know how he communicates with them. Telepathy or
something.
I think
he does.
I don't know what he does.
That's what all the great ones do.
No, I'm serious. I don't know. I don't know how that happens, to be completely honest. I don't know how he does it.
I don't either, man. I was starting to feel pretty good. We had a good thing. We had some positivity going here, C-Dot. We were talking about the future and Mahomes and how good they are and the fact that 5 losses by a combined 20 points. Mahomes put up 31 in back-to-back playoff games at Arrowhead. And now you got to kind of got me down a little bit again talking about this stuff. I mean, I'm kind of down a little bit.
I mean, they did lose. I mean, I don't think you should be down overall, but I mean, they did have the lead in the fourth quarter in the AFC Championship game with the chance to go to the Super Bowl, and they lost.
Okay, now you're getting me back a little bit.
You should be down a little bit.
Yeah, I was down.
Just a smidge. I'm not saying a lot, you know what I mean?
I bet you
still was the Patriots. Of anything, we both kind of forgot that the Patriots are the Patriots.
We did.
I would say we forgot when they lost to the Dolphins. We forgot when they lost to the Steelers. And I'll admit, maybe I was late to the party. That first drive, I was like, the Chiefs are playing the Patriots.
Yeah. And that could have got out of hand early without that Reggie Ragland pick
100%.
In the end zone. I mean, you could have been on 14-0 right out.
I would say 2 plays that we'll never talk about again and we'll never think about just because they lost the game. We'll talk way more about Dee Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Ragland's interception that clearly kept the Chiefs in the first half. The Chiefs.
That was huge.
Chiefs could have got blown out in that game. They were teetering in the first 30 minutes of that game. Reggie Ragland doesn't make that play. And then Belichick decides to go for it on fourth down. Daniel Sorensen made a great stop on fourth down. I will say this.
Like, it's one of my favorite things about this Chiefs team is those dudes are going. I mean, they're going 150 miles an hour all the time. Like, I never saw any quit. I never saw any of that stuff in this team at all. Because we saw, I mean, they've been down early before. Offense didn't give up. Defense never quit. I mean, I will give them that. And just think about it. The defense was just a smidge better, man. I mean, this team would be sitting right now 18-0. Legitimately. It's not that far. It's not too crazy to say that the Chiefs, with a halfway decent defense, could be 18-0 right now headed to the Super Bowl. That's not too crazy to say.
It was just, it was an incredible year. We'll talk a lot more big picture stuff and kind of what this organization needs to do moving forward tomorrow. But, I mean, no, this was an incredible year for the Chiefs. Like, whatever your wildest visions of were the Chiefs, like, whatever it was, they far exceeded it this
year. Sure. I mean, 12-4, AFC West division title, number one seed, first AFC championship game ever in Kansas City. I mean, none of us saw this. I mean, we were like 10-6, they'll get in, maybe win a wild card game. You know, Mahomes, 25 touchdowns, 12 picks, be a nice first year. He goes for 50 and 5,000 yards.
And then you remember, I mean, all offseason I was saying I didn't care if they made the playoffs or not. This year was about the development of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and he developed.
And past development. They have the most valuable player in the NFL. Yeah. Like, not just the award. I mean,
truthfully, they have him.
So tomorrow, if the NFL was just starting over and you could pick any player you wanted, Patrick Mahomes would be the number one overall pick. I don't know why. There's no other player you can argue you would take over Patrick Mahomes.
No, not at all. He's the guy. At 23 years old, 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, MVP, he's the guy.
Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also available on iTunes. Also, do us a favor right now on your phones. Download the radio.com app. It can keep you locked into all your 610 Sports content. Even though the season is over, doesn't mean we're done talking Chiefs on this station. Coming up after us, Jay Binkley with the Bink at Night. For Carrington, for my guy BK, from Fanning, who's going to keep wearing Royals stuff this week because he's already given up on the Chiefs.
It's baseball season now, man.
No, it's not. It's the drive. I think it's college basketball season, but neither here nor there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.